Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Welcome to the Metron Live podcast, coming to you live from beautiful historic Midtown Atlanta. Metron people, please give the Metron Live people a hand. We welcome you. Once again, we thank Charles, the rock god of podcasting, who makes this possible. And thank you. This month, a lot of people are going to be gone, so I think BJ's gone a good bit of the month, and so everybody's having to kind of cover for everybody else, but all of this tech team are versatile, and they're all self-starters, so we will get through the month famously. I want to talk about miracles this month. I want to talk about the supernatural. My title for the series is Signs and Wonders, Lifestyle, Developing the Supernatural and Creating the Miraculous. I'm just going to use one part of a verse of Scripture for a reference, and it's Mark chapter 16, verse 17, which that last little part of Mark 16 is actually not in original text, but you get in the weeds when you start, you know, dissecting all of that. So I think what it says in Mark 16 sounds like what Jesus would have said. So I don't have any problem believing that it's original. But it's just this one phrase. It's, and these signs shall follow them that believe. If you follow the rest of it, he says they'll cast out demons, they'll speak with new tongues, they'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt. Some people have taken that literally, and that's where you get these snake handler churches, and that's really not what Jesus meant. But basically, he wasn't talking, I don't think, about these specific miracles. I think you miss the point if you say these are the four manifestations. What he's saying is, think outside the box. If you're a believer, signs and wonders should just become a natural occurrence with you. So, you know, I keep using this reference, but back last year when, were we on St. Simon's when we were doing a meditation one night? I've already told you about this, but the dog was barking, just bark, 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 and he was messing up the thing. And as I'm leading everybody, I just went, shh, and he shut up. I didn't say anything about it. A couple of y'all were peeking, saying, I saw during meditation that you shut that dog up. I said, well, some people would think it was just a coincidence. Like, I told my mom that, and she said, those people think a little too highly of you over there, which is what a mother should say. She said, I think that was just the dog. I thought, well, sorry, Mom. But it reminded me of the scripture where the voice of God speaks out of heaven. It says some people heard the voice of God and other people thought it was thunder. There's always going to be somebody somewhere who thinks they're going to try to downgrade your miracle. They're going to say, oh, that wasn't a miracle. That was just a fluke or whatever. So that just comes with the territory. I use this Einstein quote all the time. Albert Einstein said, there's two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle. And I've specifically told you about things that have happened over the years. I remember I had told a story one night about a woman that used to go to my Bible school years ago who went to that first Washington for Jesus that they had in D.C. back in the late 70s. And she said she felt like God had told her, she had a mobile lunch counter thing. And she said, I wanted to go up there and just make free sandwiches for the people that were there for Washington for Jesus. So she said, we were going to do it real easy. We just did like a big thing of pimento cheese and a big thing of chicken salad and a big thing of egg salad. It was just things that were spreadable so that people just line up and you can just put on the bread, boom, there you are. Like, this is just a way to keep it moving. And she said, I didn't know how much to prepare for, so we just took what we had and we said, well, we'll do it until we give out. And she said, we were there, I forgot how many days, I want to say 4 days maybe, and whatever should have been gone by the afternoon lasted them for 4 days. She said, I don't know how to explain it, but she said, I would take the chicken salad, I'd put it on the bread, I'd hand it to somebody, turn back, and the thing was still full. And she said, some people say it's just a fluke or whatever. She said, I'm telling you, we did not. And would you turn that off? Which, by the way, let me say something about the This was funny. You know, last week I was doing the I am things. I am this, I am that. We had a, they're not here today, but there's a new couple who was here last week. It must have been really cold in here because when they walked in, he said, I enjoyed the service, but I have an I am. I said, what? He said, I am cold. I said, so be it. Bring a jacket or snuggle up to somebody that looks cute. All right. So anyway, she said we never ran out. And she said even when we, what I was going to say is Washington for Jesus, it looked like the Peachtree Road Race. It was just like a sea of people. So there's no way to estimate how many people they fed, but the bread never ran out. They actually left Washington, D.C. with food left over, kind of like the 12 baskets full. So I had told that story many times, as I am wont to do, because my stories are fabulous, and I tell them over and over again. They're like wine. They get better with age. I make no apology for it. But I had told that story one night, and this is back when Greg Jennings was our youth pastor at Teen Planet. And this is back on Wednesday nights. We'd have 300, 400, 500 kids that came out. Teen Planet was bigger than most churches. And so they used to do a thing where he would give a free slice of pizza to first-time visitors. So they had a big crowd one night, I mean, just capacity crowd. And he got up and said, you know what, I'm just going to give pizza to everybody tonight. Well, his staff said, we don't have enough pizza. We just had enough for 2 or 3 first-time visitors. And he said, did you hear that story the bishop's been telling? He said, they just shut down on him. They said, we don't have enough. We do not have enough. So he said, bring me a knife. They didn't even have a knife. So he said, I went to my office and got a pair of scissors, and I just started cutting off slices of pizza. He said, I don't know how to tell you it happened. We fed everybody at Teen Planet that night, and there was pizza left over. Now, I can't promise you that's going to happen every time, but I know credible people who have told me that kind of thing happens. Now, this is where I want to go with this today, and I'm about to give you TMI, and this is, but you're just going to bear with me, because last week, I don't think they'll mind me saying this, Jack and Jackie were telling me that, you know, her sister, who is a flight attendant, rode with them up from St. Simons because she was flying to Africa. They get nearly to Dublin, so they were way up the road, and she said, I've left my wallet with my at my condo in St. Simons, I mean with my everything. There's no way you can't go to a foreign country without all your stuff. And so the first miracle was that she didn't freak out that much. Like, they were like, you know what? We're going to figure it out. Something's going to happen. And she actually said, is it okay that I tell this? She actually said, I forgive myself for leaving this, because apparently it must be the kind of, you ever done something stupid and you're like, oh, stupid, why do I always do this? Don't ever do that, because you end up reinforcing a negative. What, do y'all do that? Did y'all listen? So that was already a miracle. So I'm sure I'm leaving something out, but I think the idea was she was going to rent a car to go back, and or whatever it was, you find some transportation to get back to St. Simons to get the stuff. Well, she was going to fly back. Okay. So when she gets out of the car, because she's, you know, more in a more traditional church setting, Jackie prayed something that her sister would understand. She said, I prayed that an angel will go get that wallet and bring it here to this car. Her sister gets back in the car, I don't know how many minutes later, and she says, look, there's my wallet. Now, you can say it was probably in there and she'd put it in some pocket in her pocketbook and it fell out. And maybe it did. And if that was the case, it's still miraculous, because you still had to find it. Because even if you had it on you and it was hidden from you, it's still not going to do you any good. And let me tell you, I don't remember where we were flying, but it was when we had first gotten together, we were flying somewhere, and Ken hadn't flown that much. So I was telling him, I said, do you have your ID with you? And he said, yeah. I said, because you cannot go anywhere to the airport without ID. You've got to have it. I was being all lectury. Guess who didn't have his ID? So everywhere we went, you can't. Let me just say, I got really close to some TSA agents because, I mean, they had to pad me down and wand me, and I don't know what else. Some of it I've blocked out, but I mean, it was a trip. Everywhere we went, you can't believe what they had to go through because I said, I do not have my, you know, and I'd see Ken on the other side of the glass. I'm like, I know, I forgot. He's got his, I got mine. So, he's on the other side of the glass going, so anyway. And when they told, who knows? Was it in there and she dropped it out? I don't know. And they had looked in that backseat. And I'm going to tell you something. I can relate to this. Avery went through a similar thing because something that, it was a Christmas party or something that Ken had written a check to help us with. And I think you wrote the wrong thing. And so Avery said, cancel that check. Whatever it was, there was a check you were looking for that Ken had written. It was in your... And Avery's always very organized, knows where everything is. I mean, organization is her strong suit. She could not find it. I think you were trying to rewrite. It was, I don't remember all the details, but I remember somewhere, Ernie and Avery were, and she sent me a picture of her wallet with a check in. I said, what's that? She said, that's that check that I've looked for. I can't tell you how many times I've looked in this wallet. I've taken everything out, and now somehow it's in there. We've talked about a piece of clothing that you look for in your closet. I know. There are things, I've taken everything out of my closet and go, I know that thing is in here. And then I walk back in and it's in there. Now, again, you can say, oh, you were just hiding it from yourself. You didn't really see it. I don't know. Maybe the wind was blowing. Maybe it was thunder. Maybe it was the voice of God. Maybe I shut up the dog. Maybe the dog just moved on. I don't know. I want to lean toward believing it's miraculous. And do y'all know what I'm talking about? When you're looking for something and you have looked and looked and looked for that thing and you walk out of a room and you come back in and there it is. I don't know if things just go into another dimension or whatever, but you know, I live in a small loft and we're pretty minimalist. So there's not many places I could put something. You know what I mean? It's like, it has to be here. There's no other place. There's no attic. There's no basement or whatever. And then it'll be gone and then it'll be back. All right, here's the part where it's TMI. You can decide if this is a miracle or not. I'm just telling you, I was thinking about this thing that you had just said about the wallet and Avery with the check. And it's happened to me lots of times. Something that I've looked for and can't find it. Did an angel bring it back? I don't know. So we're going to North Carolina this week. Y'all are going to laugh at this. So I had gone to the store. I'd bought a couple of new things I was going to wear, like a couple of t-shirts and shorts or whatever. I have it mapped out in my head. Okay, I'll take this. This goes with this. I'll wear this. It has to be those things because I'm like, I'll wear this Wednesday on the way up there. And this goes with that, so I can do that. So I've got it all. I know these are the things I'm going to wear, and here's what I need with this. I had to wear a suit to the thing, so I'm like, okay, I've got that. Do I have it? Oh, I need a black belt for that because I wouldn't do that. So I've thought it through, so I know what all my stuff is. Well, a couple of the pairs of shorts I had bought, you can't believe I'm telling this game, they were white polo shirts. So I don't wear white underwear. I just don't. I mean, I like colorful boxer briefs or whatever. So, but I have a pair of white jeans that I wear a couple times a summer. So I remember specifically buying drawers to get with those jeans. Because I'm not going to go commando. And if you wear, I was raised right. I told you it's going to be TMI. You ain't ever heard Amanda Collar say the word commando before. Now you've heard it. Or draws. In my neighborhood, we say draws. So So I've got one, maybe two pairs of them. That's the only time I ever wear them is when I wear this white jeans. Because if you wear like dark color underwear, you can see them. It makes it look like your jeans are dirty. And it's like you have to have the right undergarments. Could not find them anywhere. And I said, to remind me on the way up there, I've got to stop by some place, even if I just get some old school, whatever, tidy whities or whatever. I've got to get something. I don't wear those, but I got to get something. And that should be easy to find. I mean, I could probably find those in a CVS or something, you know, but just don't let me forget. Well, I'm telling you, it was like a scavenger. They have no white underwear in North Carolina. I mean, apparently, North Carolina has banned the sale of white drawers. You can't find them. Am I kidding? Like, every store, we even found, we were on this, this guy took us on a tour of movie sites, and Ken said, there's a men's store, and I said, excuse me a minute. I walked in there, I said, do y'all, it was like a sports store. Do y'all have underwear? Yeah, we did. Well, they were all like crazy psychedelic. They looked like his album cover. I'm like, no, that's not going to work. Can't find them. So I had finally just thought, well, I'm going to have to recycle some outfit because this is what two of the events we were going to, this is what I was going to wear. And so I've got to not recycle my underwear, but recycle. I had clean drawers. They just weren't ones I could wear with two of the outfits. Y'all feel me? Like, we had five events to go to, and two of the outfits depended on. All right. So I finally thought, you know, it's not that big a deal, whatever. I mean, I didn't pray about it. It was just like, well, this is an inconvenience. I can't believe. I mean, all I thought is, well, I need to get not these drawers. I need to get my drawers more organized. I should be able to walk there and just find, because I know I've got them in there somewhere, and they must be tucked. Who knows where they are? So we're getting ready day before yesterday. I, you know, brushing my teeth, whatever. I have a backpack that I carry my computer in, and I carry all of my adapters, and there's a charger for my watch. And there's a bunch of stuff in there that, you know, I probably need to throw away from trips we've gone on that was like pamphlets to things. Like, I'll go through this later. But I never have ever put clothing in there, ever. I go in the bathroom, I'm opening my computer case looking for something. Clean pair of white underwear in my backpack. So I walked out and said, you're not going to believe what I just found. Now, I have no idea why. They were mine. And wasn't like, somebody else's drawers in your backpack. No. It wasn't like that. Y'all get your mind on Jesus. I know what y'all were thinking. Nasty. In the house of God on a Sunday. I know what y'all were thinking. He found some drawers. No, it ain't like that. God help me. I mean, they were mine. I remember buying them. Just for the life of me, I can't imagine, why would I have ever put these in my computer backpack? Like, what? Now, you could say, you must have, there must have been some, because it's got several compartments on it. So, I mean, I guess it's in the realm of possibility that we were taking some flight somewhere, that I was just trying to do carry-ons. Maybe I put some extra underwear and socks in there. I'm not saying that that didn't happen. I'm just saying that if it did happen, it happened a long time ago, and I use that backpack every day. Every day. I am in that backpack every day, and I have never noticed any article of clothing. Now, again, you can say, that ain't a miracle. Fine. If that's the frequency you want to live in, if they had been red underwear, I wouldn't have even thought about it. It certainly wouldn't be. It's just that it was specifically the thing that I needed to wear that outfit that I had bought for that day. Now, I don't know. Did your sister drop out her wallet and everything, just didn't see it? I don't know. Why couldn't she see it? I mean, your back seat can only be so big. Jackie pulled the car over and went back there and looked. They looked under seats, whatever. They tore up that car, couldn't find it. Then she walks out and goes, oh, there it is. Now, I know I mentioned, like last week I was mentioning Danny finding the $20 in the ATM, or Francis somehow defi- I mean, I don't mean getting home, like speeding getting home. I mean, like, there's no way you could have gotten home that fast. So I keep seeing these little sort of, are they miracles? Are they not? There's such a preponderance of them lately that I'm getting to where I can't ignore them. I mean, what are the odds? I told y'all this a few months ago. And remember when I went through that whole thing trying to get storage facility at my law? It was this whole deal because somebody was using the one that was assigned to me, and somebody was in there. So, like, for me to, for them to clear out a storage facility was like a big deal. It would mean like five different people would have to, and the concierge wasn't helping me. It just became an issue. And so I finally, I don't remember how it happened, but whatever it was, I finally worked out to get one, but they wouldn't give me a key to it. I'm like, what's the point of having a storage facility if you don't have a key? And it's like a huge hassle, especially if it's late at night. You've got to go down and find a concierge to come up and let you in. And I don't know if they had people stealing stuff. I don't know what it was. But I thought, this isn't even helping me because it's such an ordeal to find. I mean, I got to go down there, and what if the concierge is gone? You know, I'll be back in half an hour and I can't get into the thing. It was just, it wasn't like a, I mean, it was definitely a first world problem, but it was an aggravation. So Damien, some of you remember, that came here a few months ago, she was coming up from Florida and she bought a painting from me. And the painting was in storage. So she was coming to Metron on a Sunday morning. We had been out of town, got it late on Saturday night, and I said, man, I gotta get that painting out. And there's one side of it I didn't paint. It's like I forgot, I left that side of the canvas blank. So I've got to find that thing because I can't, you know, bring her an incomplete painting. We go, but I thought, I gotta start this whole rigmarole trying to find the concierge to let me in. We walk in, my key, this is what my keychain is. It has the fob to my car. It has the key to the door of my loft and the key to my mailbox. That's all that's on there. I don't use a lot of keys in my life. So I don't have a key to this place. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, there was a time I looked like a warden. I had so many keys, but I don't now. So I would notice, like, there's this key this size, and then there's the mailbox key that's like that. A key and a half. That's all it's ever been. We're walking in. Remember this a few months ago? We're walking in. I said, I got to figure out how to get that painting. I go put my key in the doorknob, and I said, what is this other key on my keychain? What is this? I don't remember. Believe me, I went through so much with management, I would have remembered if they'd handed me a key. They did not. Oh, there's no possible way this is a key to that storage facility. No way. I want you to know, I said, wait right here. I went there. It was the key to the storage facility. I open it. I get the painting. I'm like, I don't know how this key got on my keychain, but I'm going with it. I bring the painting back in, and I think I got to figure out. I don't, you know, when I got rid of my, or not got rid of, but when I no longer had my studio, I don't keep paints at home. And I thought, oh man, I wish I had some red paint because I just need to paint this strip on the bottom of the thing. Francis had given us some basket of goodies or something. It was a basket that was with it. And I keep it on top of the refrigerator, and it's just stuff that I throw in there. I just thought, I'm just, what the heck? I want you to know, I reached in there. There is a brand new tube of red paint that I had never opened. I don't know why it was there. So, I mean, within the first 15 minutes that we were home, I had gotten the painting. I had painted the side of it. Now, again, you could say, Bishop, you've had that key. You just forgot it. Fine. You live in that reality if you want to. Namaste. I have just found that the more these things happen, and the more I attribute them to the miraculous, the more they happen. For the people say, well, that kind of stuff never happens to me. Exactly. That's precisely my point. If you don't look for them, you don't find them. When you look for them, you see them, you attract more to yourself. And I'm talking about getting to the place where any negative thing that happens, you immediately say, this is an opportunity for a miracle. I'm going to need a miracle here. So it's an interesting way of looking at life, but you get to a place where there's no negative thing. It's like, this is just an opportunity. Not having white underwear was not a negative thing. It was, you can laugh. I know it is funny. I don't mind you laughing, but you can scoff at that and say, yeah. But I'm telling you, why the heck would I have a pair of my underwear in a backpack? And there it was. Backpack's not that big. The raisin, I'm not going to bore y'all with the raisinette story again, but it was like the raisinette story. First timer's like, what's the raisinette story? You have to, some other night by the fireside, I'll tell you that. But whether you call that law of attraction or whatever, I'm telling you, it happens. And the more you talk it up, the more it happens. Now, you can say, well, I need miracles like raising the dead and healing cancer or whatever. Well, let me tell you how it starts. Empire Strikes Back, Luke Skywalker crashes his spaceship into the swamp. Yoda's teaching him how to levitate things. He can levitate the rocks. He tries to levitate his spaceship. Can't do it. Yoda says, I would try to do that, but it hurts my throat to do Yoda. Yoda says, if you could levitate the rock, you could levitate the spaceship. The difference is only in your mind. We have the ability to feed the 5,000. And let me tell you a big key to it. Jesus is preaching one day. Thousands of people come and hear him. This is back in a time when you didn't just go out to eat after church. I mean, there's no restaurants. You had to bring food. These people had stayed so long that there was, it was getting late. They were going to spend the night. So Jesus says to his disciples, let's feed these people. And we know there were, at least back then, women were invisible. They just counted the men. And so there were thousands of people because they estimated 5,000 men. So that means women and children, easy estimate, 15,000. So you're talking like a small stadium full of people. And Jesus says, feed them. And the disciples are like, with what? And he says, and this is the key, this is what separates the miracle workers from the non-miracle workers. He says, what do we have? Those four words will change your life. Because the disciples were saying, we have a sea of hungry people. We have an impossible situation. Jesus did not deny the impossibility of it. He said, what do we have? And the way I picture it is nearly a mocking way they answered. Say, one little boy had enough foresight to pack a lunch. We got that. You could do something with that. It's just some pieces of bread and some piece of fish. That's what we have, Jesus. And he says, well, bring it to me. It says he blessed it. He broke it. They begin to feed the people. 12 baskets of leftovers. And then a couple chapters later, he did it again with a slightly smaller crowd. If you look at the impossibility of it, you will never get into the what do we have column. I I don't tell you the things that go on with my parents, but it's a lot. It's a lot. And my dad has good days and bad days, and Dr. Schiebel was over there last week, and it, usually when people are there, he rises to the occasion. Yesterday was a very bad day. And somehow, I didn't hear about it till we were driving back into town, so it didn't really affect our trip so much. But it's a lot. And I posted something last night. I was just going to, Ken was driving, I was just going to leave it up there for a little bit and say, I just want to say I'm positive and I believe everything I posted today about the miraculous, but man, dealing with a parent, it just sucks. And I'll probably delete this in a minute. I just needed to say it. Well, of course, it's like Pandora's box. I don't even know how many. And I've decided to leave it up. I thought, you know what? It's fine. I can compartmentalize enough to say I'm believing for the best with my parents. I'm constantly saying, you and I are going to age and keep our right minds, and we're going to do all the, you know, I was reading something the other day that says diet soda shrinks your brain and makes it more likely if you have Alzheimer's. I'm like spitting it out. I'm like, oh God, God almighty. You know, let's do all that we can to stay in the good column. And I've actually learned something from it. And I'm not trying to throw my dad under the bus. It's just interesting because I've noticed, because my grandmother went through the same thing. When people are in dementia, they'll get something on their mind, and there's no way you can convince them otherwise. Like, there's no point in rationalizing with it because it only makes them angry and aggressive. Like, when we got back from St. Simon's, I had asked, Jared was going to stay another night. Dad did not want him in the house. Dad didn't know who he was. So he follows me out. Well, Ken brings him out of the car, and he says, I want that boy out of my house. He said, and so I'm trying to explain to him. I showed him a picture of him with his grandson. I said, Dad, these are your grandsons. You have three grandsons and one granddaughter, and that's Jared. He's just helping you. I said, you don't remember him picking you up last night when you fell, and mom couldn't pick you up, whatever. I couldn't show him the picture enough. He had, but this is what I thought, you know, on some level, we all have dealt with some stupid thought that no matter what anybody tells us, we can't get past that thought. Like, he's on it now. He's got it in his mind that he wants to go to the bank to see his money. And the more we try to explain to him, like, there's not a vault that you open up and you show him the balance. It only ticks him off. So now we just say, all right, we'll go tomorrow. We'll take you tomorrow. Because when you try to explain it, it makes him mad. But what I've learned from it is, I don't have dementia, but I think there's crazy thoughts that have lodged in my head that no matter what, it's like seeing somebody with anorexia that weighs 80 pounds, and no matter how much you tell them your skin and bones, they see themselves fat. And the more you tell them they're skinny, it only makes them double down and see themselves that way. So even Jesus said, no man comes to the Father unless the Father draws him. This is why it's pointless. Part of that video I made last night was about, bless his heart, there's this video of Kenneth Copeland defending his airplane to this, and it's bad. It's not a good look for him. And, I mean, it's very bad. And what I wanted to say is, just don't try to explain that, because your followers who think that's great are going to think you or Creflo Dollar or any of these people that have planes, they're on the page with you. They're fine. The people who think a minister shouldn't have that, there's not enough explaining in the world you could do to change their mind. So what you should just say, not that you're asking me, you should just say is, yeah, have a big ministry. I have my own plane. I don't like to fly commercial. A lot of people have a problem with it. I understand. Boom, you're done. Because it ain't going to change anybody, no matter how much you try to explain something, because people have a thing in their mind. I realized, and I don't have to deal with it now, but there's a way that people think of megachurch pastors that I'm out of that now. But there was, you know, the stuff that people would accuse me of, just crazy. Some of y'all remember, so like there was a family across the street from me, their kids went to prom. So they rented a Hummer limo for all of these little high school couples. It was parked in front of my house. They end up writing an article in the paper about my lavish lifestyle. I can't believe his church is just 10 minutes away and he has to have a Hummer limo taken to church. The more you try to explain it, the more you finally just go, y'all are idiots. I'm leaving town. I'm going to Atlanta. That's how I left it. Judah says, I'm going out there. I'm like, go with God. Lots of luck. Just don't have anything out here because they don't like that out there. But the more I would try to explain how ridiculous, like there was even a thing that was written about how I had a landing strip behind my house for my private plane. I'm like, have y'all ever been to Covington? It's like a street. It's the street in front of the Baptist church that goes, but there's the, if I had a plane, there's not, first of all, what a ludicrous idea to fly from Covington to Conyers. It wouldn't be worth, it wouldn't even be worth getting off the ground. You could drive quicker. It's right there. But I learned this is ridiculous because they have a thing in their mind. I'm all about the money. I make too much money. The more I try to explain it, all they see is dollar signs. Yeah, thank you, Joel. Yeah. And I'd hear it on planes. I was by a guy on a plane. He said, are you pastor of that church? And I said, yeah. Why? He said, is it true you have six ATMs in your foyer? And the stories just got crazier and crazier and crazier. I'd get to where I just dread going to a restaurant because the server would come up and say, can I ask you a question? I'm like, please don't, because this is going to be something really stupid. And it always was. And then the next time I go by, the place is closed. I'm like, oh, I wish y'all would quit cursing me because it makes your restaurant close. And there's few enough places to eat here as is. Please don't do this to me. It's going to ruin your business. I don't know why it works this way. I'm just telling you, every one of these restaurants has an attitude with me. Y'all go out of business. Y'all need to bless me because it's making it really hard for you. And I'm going to end up eating at Burger King all the time. There's no place to eat. But my point, and I don't mean to sound like I'm not making light of my debt. It actually has gotten my attention. Like, I wonder, are there wrong things that I think that are holding me back that other people can see, but I can't see it? You understand what I'm saying? So you think, is there one thought that's keeping me from the miraculous? Because I think, yeah, it's the putting the net on the other side of the boat. Right. Well, even do you mind me about our conversation? While we were, even when I'm gone, I'm always pastoring. I mean, we were at dinner the other night, I probably talked to 7 different people who contacted, which is fine, either through text or calling. One of them was Karen, and I've known Karen for a long time. She's like family, and Karen's gone through a lot. I mean, when you read positive posts of her, you're like, that's pretty amazing. She had texted me. She said, I just need to ask you about something. There's a check that needs to come in. It's my money. I've been waiting on it, but I needed it, and it's not coming in, and I need to know, is there something in me that's blocking it? Whatever. I need your agreement, whatever. It's too long to text. I just called her back. I said, basically what I said is, forget about the check, because I know what that's like. There's a check that we're waiting for Metron that, frankly, we need. I mean, we need. And I finally had to say, you know what? It'll be here when it's here, because there's a weird thing that happens when you are counting on this check and you're waiting for it. I don't know why it does this, but it's like you need, and it's your money. It's not like you're praying for, but it's like you're waiting for this thing, and it nearly holds up. Well, then she says she got it, and then she texts me the next day and goes, well, the check will be here Wednesday. I'm like, I told you. That. Yeah, but that's the kind of thing that, this is what I think it is. I think it's you're supposed to find the miraculous. And if you're waiting for the check or whatever the thing is for you, you're opting out of the miraculous. Jesus said the disciples need to pay their taxes. So he says, go look for money in the fish's mouth. It's like the most ludicrous place you could think of. But what he was saying is money can come from anywhere. And if you start think, even if, I'm not telling you not to work, but even if you start thinking that your paycheck is your source, you are opting out of the miraculous. Go ahead and show up for work and get, and if somebody owes you money, get the money. But if you start thinking that I got to have this salary and these benefits, whatever, you've opted out of the miracle zone. So go ahead and do your natural part, but don't forfeit the supernatural. And I learned what you were, what I was telling you the other night. And I see you, Charles. I got to wrap it up. But I remember years ago, there was a ministry I used to do a thing for every year. And I would go lead worship for them. And they paid me the exact same amount of money every year. And so I kind of learned this back in the day when I was really watching my money. And so and when Debbie and I were married, and there were certain bills, I think, well, that check will come in, so we'll pay for that with this, whatever. So you know when you got it in your mind, like, well, that'll come in. Well, I went and did the thing, and usually they gave me the check the night of, and something was, their printer was down or whatever, and they said, we'll send it. Well, you know how it is when you're like, I kind of need it tonight, but okay, fine. And it's like, you know, you're looking in the mailbox one day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, like, going to really need that check. So finally, you call the office and go, I'm so embarrassed to have to ask you this, but I just want to make sure y'all have my address because the check for the 3 nights I just did for y'all, whatever. Oh, yeah, we're going to send it. Still didn't come. These are somebody I've known for years, so I don't want to make the relationship awkward with them or whatever. So in my religious whatever, I remember leaving the office one day and I'm going to the monastery to pray. So I'm, I go out of the monastery, and clear as a bell, before I open my mouth, I hear what I believe is God. The voice says, shut up about the check. And I was back like in 10 minutes. I walked in and Debbie said, I remember she said, why are you back already? I said, God told me not ever mention that check again, because that check had become, we had just shut down, like the old great check. Jesus said, you will serve one or two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. So if you're constantly asking, mammon, may I, we'd like to do it, but we can't afford it. Don't say that, because you're letting money decide what you're going to do. So I remember letting it go. I thought, I don't even want to pray about this anymore. I'm sick of stressing over it. Somehow, every bill was paid. The check came in the following week, which ended up like icing on the cake. It's like, well, this is great, because we somehow, I don't know how we did it, but we paid everything without it. So now this is just gravy, you know? And so these are things that you learn. Like, it's important to work with your hands. It's important to plan. But don't get yourself totally out of the miracle zone. Let me go through this real quick, very quick. Let me show you these. St. Augustine of Hippo says this: miracles happen not in opposition to nature, but in opposition to what we know of nature. Next thing, C. Joy Bell C. says, and so people ask God for signs and wonders, yet when signs are given and wonders are performed, most can't even see them. I therefore believe that it's not signs people should be asking God for, but you should be asking God for sight. Dr. Dispenza says this, as long as you are thinking equal to your environment, you keep creating the same life. To truly change is to think greater than your environment. To think greater than the circumstances in your life, to think greater than the conditions in the world. One more, let me see. I've never quoted John Bon Jovi before, but I like what he said. He says, miracles happen every day. Change your perception of what a miracle is, and you'll see them all around you. Hear, hear, John Bon Jovi. C.S. Lewis, Dr. C.S. Lewis said this, miracles are a retelling in small letters of the very same story which is written across the whole world in letters too large for some of us to see. And then finally, this is a meme, and I just love the concept of this. It's just very simply, it says, we live on a blue planet that circles around a ball of fire next to a moon that moves the sea. And you don't believe in miracles? So what it's saying is everything in your world is miraculous. I don't know enough about science to explain this, but as I understand it, if we were just like that much closer to the sun, we would burn up. Or if we were that much out of the further away, we would freeze to death. We're just somehow in the zone where we just hit it right, and it's been going on forever. It's a miracle. That moon we saw come up out of the ocean the other night, miracle. Don't stop talking about them, because the more you talk about them, the more you create them. That's all I got. Did you get anything out of this? All right, let's all stand. Hit this, please, for the...
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy. You can give anytime using any smartphone. Text the amount you'd like to donate to 404-620-5044. You will then receive a notification that you successfully completed your donation. You may also visit missionthenow.com and click the support tab to give there as well. When you contribute to Metron, you're also donating to the charity or organization of the month. Thank you for your investment into Metron.
If you have a check, make it to JESM and somebody will be back there to receive it. If you have cash, you can pay it forward, or if you want to bless Kian, we'll give him a check later. But if you want to go ahead and do that now, you can certainly do that. And thank you so much, Kian. It was great. We love having you this month. Did you get anything out of this today? Miracles. Don't walk out and go, now he's preaching about the miracle of the white underwear. He's done lost his mind. The miracle of the draws. All right. I know Ken's got to get out to Eatonton, so some of y'all can help with a quick teardown. I've got to get out to this service. So I speak a blessing over you. I just release miracles in your life this week. I love you very much. See you next week.